So we're also recording these question and answers. It's very helpful for people that like listening to the channel to also hear Lee's questions. So that's why we have the microphones and we ask you to use them and speak clearly into them. So first question, hands up. Janice, if you can pick the gentleman in the back row.
Okay, you want to start? It's not very smart to start with my question, but anyway. actually, it's two
could
things.
You, could I ask you to stand?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Thank Sorry. You. That just helps me to see you.
Yeah,
you.
Actually, it's two questions, but it's the same question. I want to know what Ryan thinks about two subjects. It's sex and drugs. Is it like a wild card? Is it a bad thing, a good thing?
So in general about sex and drugs, is that the question?
Yes, yes.
And you're asking me.
Yes. I mean, you're a man.
I can answer, and you can sit down, but if you don't have to stand for the whole answer.
Thank you very much.
There actually has been what Crian has said, it's so honoring. Regarding drugs, we are able to do whatever our karma says, whatever we do as a human in our vibrations. And he doesn't talk about yes or no, right or wrong. He doesn't go there. We are free. Free choice means we can take ourselves right into the dumper if we want to, or we can take ourselves to the highest vibration. So he doesn't give advice like that. But when it comes to sex, that is not about drugs. That is about the human condition that we all would then know about. And he honors it in ways that the culture does not. And he says that this is sacred and that it should be treated as sacred. And it's some of the most beautiful experiences we can have when we teach it and we experience it in a sacred way. And I like that a lot. And so this is what, so he has mentioned it definitely. The other thing about procreation that I like that he says, he talks about, and it was the other crowd I talk about this, is talk about overpopulation. And isn't it interesting that the Aborigines could have been on their land and have been, with DNA testing we now know, for 50,000 years. That's 50,000. Doing what they do, looking like they are, and celebrating the land as they do. And the question once was given to them, well, if you've been around for 50,000 years, how do you control overpopulation? That's a good question. And they say, we know when to have children. It's the resources, the time is right. If we don't have the food, if it's not, you know, we don't have them. That's pretty wise, don't you think? And Crian has actually faced off with crowds and said, most humans today in your civilization really don't understand how it happens. And that's what it looks like. Like, surprise, oh my God, I must have eaten a turnip. You know, they had no idea, nothing I designed. And that's what it appears, because we just overpopulate and overpopulate, and it just goes and goes and goes and goes. So those are the two things that he said, but thank you for the question.
And I just want to add, because it's really fun.
Oh, now she's on stage.
One more bit about the sex. When Crian tells us about the hauntings of ghosts, it's because of the crystalline grid. It's the ultimate tape player that records human consciousness in action, and that hauntings can be real. In a house, you have someone coming down the steps, the door slams. And the fun thing is that Crian says, if you want to get rid of a haunting, go into that room and make love.
He actually said that.
Exactly. And so, Lee, do you want to explain now why?
No.
It's actually beautiful. It has to do with the emotion of love that is conveyed into that room, because we always hear about the power of love. And this is a very practical example of how that power of love, and okay, you don't necessarily have to make love and do whoopee. You could probably go in there and just have a very uplifting, profound experience of love and compassion. And
it's almost like a reboot of the energy.
Exactly.
You know, and it clears it with love, and the haunting goes away, and all of these. This is from Crian.
Yeah, so basically, make love wherever you go.
Wherever you go.
So, next question.
Thank you. You liked that, didn't you?
I would like to learn more about compassion, compassionate action, and the resources, the dates and the recordings that can be provided. Thank you.
I'm not really sure of the recordings. Compassionate Action actually had a whole series, I think. Monica, was that the Kundalini series that he talked more about that than... Because I'll answer her question.
It's scattered throughout the channelings of compassion. But also when we were in Italy, we did the Italy Compassion Tour. And so there were many things. That was just last year. And what was it this year? Oh, my gosh. I'm losing track of the dates.
Last year.
But compassion has been mentioned in many channels. But where it differs from 2012 is that now we're being asked to do compassionate action.
Which is what she's asking about that's different.
And so, how would you define compassionate action? I guess that's the question.
It's a good question because it's a new concept. Going from being compassionate to having compassionate action is what Kryon says. When you look at something or someone or a condition, or whether it's individual or whether it's worldwide or whether it's for a group, Kryon says we are compassionate people. And in an older energy, that compassion does a lot. Compassionate action is where you actually do something about it. Now, this is where it gets complicated, because you would say, okay, now I'm going to get up and help that person. Or so that's not what we're talking about. It's almost like playing it forward, if you've heard this. Is you take that compassion and you spread it. You do something compassionate for someone else, for the planet, whatever. So you don't simply sit there and feel compassionate. Instead, now you act on it in a way that makes the most sense for you, playing it forward. You understand what I'm saying? And that means it's more complex than just saying, here's what you do. That is a staple of what Kryon is starting to say. And that is, these are individual decisions of light workers and old souls we are being asked to do, instead of a generic list. If something happens, you do this. You know, you face north and say this or whatever. Compassionate action is taking the compassion you feel for someone, for something, or just in general, and passing it forward. And that means you become more compassionate with things that need compassion in your life. That's compassionate action. So it is, as I say, it's a new kind of a concept, and Kryon says you need to understand that compassion is something that is going to be part of the evolution of consciousness, and we need to practice it more. That's compassionate action. And so we're asked to look around, take that compassion, something you'd have for somebody else, and then apply it to yourself and those around you and continue it so it continues going.
Is it in relation to the topic? Yeah, okay, so...
She can do that because it's in relation to the
Thank
topic.
Thank you. How to practice compassion and compassionate action towards people who, like, really rock our boat, who get on our nerves? I mean, I sometimes don't even know how to find the feeling in
my
heart.
It's tough. It's just really, really tough. And it's the toughest is with family. Believe me. Kryon has gone right to that subject. And he has said, he's even told us that as December comes around for our culture, and you've got to go meet with family that you only see once a year, and they absolutely know you're the weirdest thing on the planet, and then you have a couple of glasses of wine, and here it comes. And it's tough. And Kryon has actually said in many times toward Christmas that this is where you practice compassionate action. And if you can get through this, this is the test. And he even talks about it. He says, don't react. He says, practice not reacting. And that is because that is the maturity we have as old souls. And that is what we practice. And you may fail the first few times, but you get it. I was not good at this. I'm not the person I was 45 years ago. I really am not. I was quick to react, very opinionated, very controlling. Well, I still am, but quick. And what I found when Kryon started talking about that is that when people would push my buttons, I would react. And that I asked Kryon, he says, what do you do about that because they say something and I can't control myself. I react. And he says, erase the buttons. And I said, how do you do that? See, here was the practical. And he says, practice. Now, I really have got to the place, and I've had this happen, where somebody can literally point me in the chest and call me names and be angry with a red face. And I realize at this point in time, I may feel bad about that, but I'll tell you, I am sorry for them that they are reacting, that they're having this. I don't have to say a word, and often don't. In those particular cases, I don't have to come back at them or at all. So now when I go to see the family that doesn't understand what I do, and occasionally I have to do that, they whatever they say to me, if there's little jabs or whatever, I say nothing. I am comfortable with myself. I don't have to react, and I don't have to prove anything. That is the answer, and you practice this over and over, and it gets better. You may fail a couple of times. It gets better. You start then to learn not to react. And you realize after a while, this is good. It really frustrates them. Now, that's not the purpose. But I'll tell you what has happened in my case when there has been no reaction. It's almost like they've got a karma with me that they feel it's got to happen, you know? And when they realize that it isn't happening, it's disengaged. They stop trying. That is the truth. So,
next question. Janice, the lady on your left.
California had the worst fires in history last year. And a lot of us went through those, especially here in Mount Shasta and down towards Redding. What can we do that Cryon talks about to get rid of the fear of it happening again, or to dissipate the PTSD that people are having when they see it on the news and, oh my God, is it going to happen tomorrow here again?
I wish I could answer that in full. I will tell you that that is happening because of weather shift. And you can call it whatever you want to, and it's not global warming, it's weather shift. And it was talked about by Cryon, and I will answer any questions you want about that, not specifically for you. I'm just going to try to answer your question. And years ago, Cryon says there's going to be places where there was a certain amount of rain that you counted on for centuries, and suddenly it's gone, or it's not as much. And certain places that never rained where there'll be rain. Now, this was his admonition that weather shift is coming, that climate change is coming, and here it is. And what happens is that in the areas that are forested, suddenly we've got more fire danger than ever before, and you've seen it. I've gone through two of them. One of them in 2008, on the cusp of the weather shift, where literally all the houses around mine burned, except mine. That's another story. But I'll tell you, I understand exactly what you're saying, because I know people who live around me, and that is the subject. As soon as there's a fire anywhere, they're afraid, because they feel it, and they know it, and all like that. It's so difficult to then suppress that. It's all the suppression of the fear is all part of what Cryon talks about, that we need to work on for ourselves, where no matter what the situation is, we're comfortable enough to be, I would say, succinct in our emotion that we don't fear. And that comes with practice, and that comes through going through scenarios that are fearful in the past that you are able to solve. One of them, and you can sit down, honey. Thank you. One of them is about, you didn't have a chair. That's okay. You don't have to pretend to sit down. That's right. That's right, I didn't say. One of them is this, every mother knows that the case of, you know, you're afraid of getting this call at midnight, and it's from the police, and your son or your daughter is old enough to be out, and they are. And at that moment, there's this fear that this, and Cryon says you got 3 seconds, the 3 second rule, or less, where where it says, this is the police department, we want to talk to you, and you don't know what's happened, so you've got fear immediately that starts here. And you got 3 seconds, because if you don't control it at that moment, it's going to go here. And then you can't even remember your address, because fear does that. And Cryon has given instructions on how we can suppress fear And it's not just meditation. It really is practicing being comfortable and mature in yourself so that when you see it coming, you actually can say, sometimes I say, you're not going to get me this time. Get in the back seat. I've had this even in travel where I knew I had to be from A to B, and I had to be there because there was another C to D flight. And I had to because I had big crowds waiting for me, and then one is canceled. You know that for me is like fire. And that will take, that's my survival, that's my living, that's people waiting, and I'll have that fear. I can feel it starting here in the tummy. And before it ever gets up there, I have a mantra, get in the back seat. And that's work. That's a talking to my brain, to my cells, and everything. So I want people who are afraid of these kinds of things, number one, to realize you don't have to have the fear about it. There's ways of suppressing it. But number two, it's here. And you should look around. And there's ways that you can suppress the brush and all of these things. Monica actually has had training in this. We've got to think differently than we ever did before if you're living in the forest about what's near you, what you can do, evacuation plans. All of these things are necessary where they may not have been for the last 50 years.
I love that answer about you control your fear with your consciousness. From the practical point of view, there are so many things you have to practically implement for fire evacuation plan, where is your go-to place. You need to have all that in place. And I'm sure contacting the local fire authorities, they would have the advice to give you on how to trim your trees, how to prepare your lawn, how to prepare. So there's the preparedness.
How to evacuate physical. Your animals quickly.
Yeah, you want to have it. You need to have a plan and you need to practice it. So that it just doesn't happen on the day. There's a gentleman with a yellow top on, Janice. If you can give him the microphone, he may have things to contribute.
Yes, my name is Ernest, and I'm...
Ernest, I know that.
And I'm from Butte County, and I'm working there with a man to help publicize transcendental meditation orientations. He does the orientations on Thursdays in Paradise at Chico at 14 Hillary Lane. And there's a phone number you can call to get in touch with him. And this transcendental meditation, I like to call it transcendental medication. They treated veterans from Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, and have had far more success than anything the government has produced yet.
It really works.
And they've also, David Lynch, the movie director and producer, is one of the sponsors. And if anyone is financially challenged, there's a way that they're allowed to learn this. They're gladly presented with a mantra, which you do for 20 minutes twice a day. And it relieves PTSD, gives you incentive. You don't react to exactly what you were talking about. The way I usually, when somebody tries to goad me, I usually say, "Well, it's really wonderful to see you." And while they're trying to figure out what those words mean, then I'm doing something else. I'm talking to somebody that maybe doesn't particularly care for that person. But there's an opportunity, there's a phone number, and also you can go to TM, standing for Transcendental Medication, and that's .org, and you could call 510-517-9626. And if you ask me later,
you're available if somebody wants to ask Ernest about it. If you're interested at all,
anybody has any kind of PTSD, anybody that was anywhere in Butte County, anywhere up here during the other fires, it's a real critical situation, and this is definitely a cure, and it cures a lot of other things, too.
Thank you, Ernest,
very much, sir.
Yay.
Okay.
Good information.
Okay,
My question is, what is Cryon's insight perspective on transgenderism, and how can a parent best assist their child who is dealing with that?
That's two questions.
They're related.
This gets into a whole other subject. Let's start at the beginning, or maybe at the end. There's no judgment. There's no judgment at all for transgenderation or whatever you want to call it. There just isn't. In any shade of it, there is no judgment. Cryon has said something that's so interesting about the way we reincarnate. There is a system, and it's a system that honors our minds and our consciousness and our genders. If you ever thought about how this might work, every single one of you who is an old soul here, and I want to tell you, I'm assuming that there's a lot of them here, because anyone would come and sit through 4 days of channeling is an old soul. Or you've been dragged here by someone else and you're enduring it. But the old souls, that's who I'm going to talk to right now, all of you have been both genders. Are you aware of that? Even though some will deny it, will say, that couldn't be. That's just, I cannot think of myself as the other one. You were. The system that Cryon talks about is so honoring. When you live as a woman or as a man, and you live your entire lifetime, when you have a situation where you're going to come back again, Cryon says, the odds are that you will be the same gender lifetime after lifetime after lifetime for at least maybe 7 or 8 lifetimes, and then you change. And that's to honor the fact that when you awaken again, you start to remember, oh, I remember this, I remember how this feels, I've been a woman before, and there's no struggle then with your brain or your mind or your consciousness or your kosh or anything else to fit into the new body. And so we all have this. That's a real honoring. When I first heard that, I'd never even considered how that might work. And I loved it, because this is the way Spirit works with us, to make it gentle as possible. But when the time comes for a gender shift, Cryon says that is a struggle. And the first lifetime at the gender shift point is often difficult, because you awaken with the brain and the remembering of what was, and you have another gender as you look down. And then, Cryon has said, and many, many of those are then what we call gay. Then he said up to 10% of the population of the planet is always gay, because of that switch. And that lifetime and even the next one sometimes is so difficult. Now, in this day and age, suddenly we have the science to do something about it. And they do. And there's no judgment at all about that which you decide that you want to do to make that consciousness of yours feel better about a gender shift, perhaps, that you are now going through that you hadn't had in 10 lifetimes before. Does that make sense? And the other thing, old soul, that I want to tell you is that that means all of us have been gay. Thank you very much. I love gay people. Both genders. They are the most gentle, they're the most loving, the most creative people on the planet. And that's why there's so many artists and so many musicians and all of these, so many dancers that are in that crack where they do so many things so well. Now you know, that's an honoring as well, if you think about it. So I may not have answered the question exactly. Now, what does a parent do about it? Honor it. Honor it and say, if this is what's going to make you feel comfortable, do it, and I love you anyway. I'm always going to love you, no matter whether you have long hair or short hair or whatever you do. You're you, and you're my baby.
Great. So next question is the gentleman in the back row. Janice, if you can take the microphone.
Hello, Gerald. I'm just wondering, you know, the motor with the twist, how people were going with that. And also, have you heard of the Earth engine being made in Arizona, which is supposedly a magnetic motor that just needs magnets?
Monica, thanks. Will you repeat that for me?
Yeah, it's asking about the motor with the magnets. And are you aware of the Earth engine being developed in Arizona?
Okay, thank you. And the only reason that I ask her to repeat it is because of the accent problem sometimes I have. I want to tell you that Cryon is so active, and you probably know this because you've heard some of the channels, regarding magnetics playing a major role in the development of electricity without fuel. And if you think about it, and let me just go here because it's my passion and what Cryon has explained many times and even given some of the shapes and ideas and configurations to the inventors, is that magnetism in general, if you've ever played with magnets, especially the powerful ones, you realize that some of them are so powerful, you got to get your finger out of the way or they're gonna crush it. And that power of a magnet to a magnet, both in repulsion and attraction, will last thousands and thousands of years. I mean, you could have two magnets and two people pulling them apart and trying to keep them apart. You come back in 4,000 years, they're still doing that. It doesn't go away. And that is just a really, that's a tremendous invitation to figure out a configuration where they push and pull in each other and turn wheels. Do you see this? And you don't need any power for that. They are the power. We don't understand really much about magnetism other than what creates it at the atomic level. And Cryon has always said, this is the secret of new electricity production, both micro and macro. He even says, all of the devices that you carry right now, expect someday batteries are gone, because there will be little micro electric motors in all of them. We call them motors, but they're almost too small for you to realize. You can't even see them or hear them, and they're in there doing trickle charges to your phones or whatever you're carrying. And that will, you'll never have to plug them into the wall. They just sustain themselves. And if you can look at that, he says, you're going to have the same thing in cars. No batteries. He said, this is coming. Now, the second part of it, I have not heard specifically of the Earth engine. And that is on purpose as well, because all of these things that Cryon gives, he is giving out to inventors. They don't have to come back. We don't have to have a report, because it's information that's going out. And what Cryon says, if it works, there are those who will fund it. And so if that works, it'll be funded and you're going to see it. What I do see over and over and over, and I still don't understand it, is people who want to come to me and say, I have this. Desalinization of water is the other one, he says. Even using robotics and magnetics, pass through real-time desalinization of water without heat and without storage. In and out. Goes in salty, out clean. And he says, that is not only possible, he says, there are those doing it. But people will come and say, well, I've got that already. And I'll say, can you show it to me? And they'll say, well, not exactly. And then there'll be a lineage of why they can't or won't. They're afraid it'll be taken by the government. They're sequestering it for this. Or it doesn't work exactly as they said. I just say, just wipe it away. It's got to work. And if it does, there are those who will fund it. And I know it because I've seen it. If you really want to see what I'm talking about, tune into YouTube and go to Billions in Change. Now, that's a 40-minute presentation of a man who developed the 5-hour energy drink. That's not probably the most enlightened thing that he could have invented. And that's at the various service stations, 5-hour energy drink. And it made him a billionaire, and he'd never had that kind of money before. And so he decided, in his consciousness, he would do something about it. And he stands ready to fund anything that works like that, especially energy production and desalinization. And he's got billions of dollars. And I steer everybody to him. So you say, have I heard of this? No, whatever that is, does that man know that he could have it funded and this could help the human race? That's where I stand on all of these. And I'm working with two people who get these ideas to inventors, and one group I know listens to Cryon all the time. And that's the inventor group that I've been crying. It's public. It said, if you're having trouble with the configuration of this magnetic engine of push and pull, start experimenting with Mobius strips. And this is, if you know what that is, then you'll understand. If you don't, it's not worth talking about it. But now here's Cryon giving hints about the actual shape and configuration of what's coming. And that's going to change everything. And do you know why this is important? You're going to have to ask, one of you is going to have to ask the question about what's going to happen to our electric grid and why.
Wonderful. So next question is... Oh, there you go. Her question's answered.
Hello, Lee. I would like to know your perspective and Cryon on the role of the Galactic Federation, upcoming future role. Is it going to continue to be spiritual and energetic, or are we going to see a physical role in our society?
We're going to see both. The Galactic Federation, thank you, is a metaphor, in my opinion, for intelligent life in the galaxy who knows we're here. And there's a lot. And what only thing Cryon has said about that in particular, now remember that's a metaphor, there probably isn't a federation that has signatures and uniforms and badges and all of these, but that's where we go when we think about this. It's a name given for ascended life on this in this galaxy, which we've talked about before, which Cryon actually referred to in the channels in this room, that know we're here. And I asked Cryon, and in channel, he said a couple of times, but in a real specific channel where I asked him, I said, there are UFOs, we see them, we've seen them for hundreds of years, now we're photographing them, pilots are reporting them, there can't be a question, we're here, we're being watched, they're here, we've got entities in the mountain, all of this, why don't they come down, land, and say hello? Why don't they go to the White House lawn? Well, maybe that's not a good idea at the moment, but... Why don't they go to the UN, for instance, and say, we're here? And, you know, that's a big question, isn't it? And you know what the answer was? And it's sobering. You're still too dangerous. We have a low-consciousness human race that wars regularly, and now we have nukes. And until that stops, and until we are a non-warring civilization, and that, Cryon said, is coming, where we have a higher vibration and we won't do that to ourselves until these things start to change, and it could be two generations away or it could be one. He says that will make all the difference in the world. Then we'll meet them, and we'll meet them physically because we won't be dangerous. Does that make sense to you? You know, the funny thing about this is everything we've ever done as far as science fiction films, with the exception of three that I know and all, they're the ones who are going to attack us. They're the ones who are going to steal our gold, steal our water. They need our earth and all like that. And what Cryon says, isn't it interesting that you have made them you? Suddenly they have low consciousness human attributes, and they're going to come and they're going to war with you. And it's exactly the opposite.
Janice, if you can take the microphone to Dwight.
Who is it you won't talk to? This is a phrase that Cryon has said often.
Which one?
Who is it you won't talk to?
Who is it you won't talk to, correct.
And I'm looking for clarification because the teacher Peggy says, thank you for all we have learned together. I now choose to bring my energy back.
This is a phrase used for those in learning about what we are talking about, and that is how to deal with consciousness of people who would attack you, or people that don't like you, or people you don't like or haven't liked. And this is a beginning lesson. Cryon says, who is it you won't talk to? Meaning, you don't want to go meet them. You don't want to go meet them. Maybe they betrayed you. Maybe it's somebody in the past that has done awful things to you, and you won't talk to them. And then he follows up and says, whoever that is, go talk to them. So that's what he means in that.
Lovely. Next question, Janice, if you can do the lady just up from you.
Yeah, thank you. I have a question, and I'm I'm not sure if, you know, other people are experiencing these things or not, but we know that time is speeding up, okay? And we're on this linear thing here on Earth, but I'm now seeing layerings showing that things are all happening at the same time. Can you explain what is going on and what to expect?
I think you've actually answered it in your question. And that is this, first of all, let's establish a base point. Time is speeding up. Now, that used to be something that only those who are aging would say. Because as you get older, the sense you would have of the time starts to compress. What we're finding out is that young people are also saying the same thing. It just seems that the clock stays the same. It'll say it'll click over in the days and the months and the years, but the perception we have is that things are going faster. Now, psychologists will add to that, well, you've got so much stimulus and there are so many things to do that when you're busy, the time seems to go faster. But even those who have very little to do are starting to report the same thing. So what my standpoint from where I sit is I am seeing exactly what you said, that there is a perception, especially with old souls, that time is speeding up. Now, I could get scientific and talk to you about fractal time like Greg Braden does, and I can also say, isn't it interesting that one of our greatest scientists proved that time is variable? Did you know that Einstein is the one who gave us what we call the fourth dimension? There's height, width, depth, that's 3D, and there's time. And time became the fourth dimension as soon as he proved that it was variable. And what made time go faster or slower? And it was the speed that we went. Is it possible that the vibration of consciousness itself has sped up time? And so I am on board with this potential. The time may be relative and different for planets because of the vibration that they have. Suddenly, you're in a really strange bag, and that is, what if you go to another planet and could, and their time was completely different in how it felt? Same clock, same everything, and yet how it was actually going faster because we were vibrating higher. So that is that first part. The second part of your question, I'm trying to remember, was it what do we do or how do we... Go ahead, because I know there was a second part.
Oh, it's the layering of things that have happened, and we think it's in our past, mm-hmm. but they're all coming together.
Yes, the now effect. That was right. Thank you. Yeah. So, yeah, and then now, remember what a client... Well, you weren't here for some of the other channels, but if you catch up on the channels... Krein has talked about a time that perception where our no matter how old we are, how many lifetimes we had, that it all will eventually come together and seem like it is now. Now that's for a reason. Number one, as an ascended human being, that is one who is ascending in evolution of consciousness, we are having the ability to take our Akashic record and suppress the negative. Did anybody understand what I'm saying? So eventually, Akashic record and the readers and all are dealing mostly with old energy Akashic stuff. You died because of this. You had something happen because of this in a past life, and you're going to a reader or a helper to help you negate that so you can move forward without being afraid of water if you died. That's so common. What if it were the opposite? What if we reach a level where instead we are looking at the best things that ever happened to us, the most wisdom we ever had? And Christ said, that will come about and it'll seem like yesterday or even today, and you will need that for the wisdom that you're going to have in the now to take everything that ever happened that you learned that was good, apply it to your lives, and move forward as an ascended human. Does that make sense? So you realize that the whole perception of time for an old soul has to change and will change, and especially in what you're talking about and the past. But don't consider the past the way we do now. It's not a negative past. It's going to be a past that's filled with wisdom, learning, and things that were good. And that's what you bring forward in this lifetime. And crying is always, can I just say, one of the things, I have an evolution presentation. One of the things he says is that so many of you, as old souls and light workers, are saying the same thing. Right now, you're saying, I'll never come back. I don't have to come back. This is my last time. This really is my last time. I'm tired. Just ask me. I'm tired. I'm not coming back. And Christ says, yes, you are. And here's what makes the difference. Do you know that we don't have something called what the animals call instinct? We really don't. Have you ever thought about this? I know I'm going into lecture now, but I have to do this. And that is, and Joe Dispenza talks about this same thing. Is, you know, an animal, when it's born, like a bison, will be up and running with the herd in hours, will know what its enemy smells like, won't drink water that's tainted. That all is passed from the mom and the dad, and that's instinct, and it's inside them. It's their consciousness and their blood, and that's what they have. And when we have a baby born, even the most basic survival things are not there. You know, how many times, lifetime after lifetime, you got to burn your hand, right? Don't you think that the fear of heat and fire and burning would be passed from mother to child when we have it in the animal kingdom in spades? We don't have any of that. You got to learn everything from scratch every single time you come. Are you aware of that? Part of the evolution that's coming is you won't. You'll remember these things. You'll remember how to read, remember how to walk, remember what's good and bad. And the next time, Christ says, when you come back, old soul, how would you like to have the assurance that you will never make the same mistakes again? Would that make a difference? Yes! This is what Crine is talking about. That is an evolution. You don't expect that. You expect some linear thing when talking about evolution. No, these are attributes that are missing in our mind of what might be. We need old souls to return and come in clean, knowing, wise, and continue. And that is going to be the secret of peace on earth. We're going to first, have you ever noticed how generation learned nothing from war? Honestly, you would think that we would have that ingrained in our innate, the horror of war. And yet we continue to think that is a solution. And one generation will do it and pass, and the kids will grow up and do it again, because there's no pass-through. Now there will be. That's why Christ says there'll be an evolution of no war. We're going to remember that it doesn't work, and it's going to be stopped, and we're not going to kill each other, and that's the point at which everything changes. So I know that was a very long answer, but take it.
Great. Next question.
Hi. That sort of ties into the question I had. What does Crayon say?
Where are you?
I'm right here.
I know you're right there, but I can't see you. Oh, thank you. Yes. Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Nice to have you here. Right.
Thank you. Nice to have you, too. What does Crayon say about how we can both personally and thus as humanity expand our awareness and consciousness to be able to really get through that veil? What is the single thing?
You know,
it sounds
trite. But Crayon says this has to start at an individual level. And the best thing he's ever said, and he says it constantly, he says, at this juncture in time, you don't have the wherewithal in experience to look up to a higher consciousness. And so you don't really know what is there so that you can practice anything. And he says, and so the answer right now, two things, sit and be loved and know you're magnificent. And he said, when you do that and mean it, that things start to occur and they start to open up for you. And that means synchronicity, meeting the right people, the aha moments of what was wise or not wise, that start attracting you and them, and you start getting these things. It takes action. There's your compassionate action for yourself. It takes action. Sit and be loved. Now, you think, well, that's pretty easy. It isn't. It isn't easy because we are. Do you know what? This is a sentence. You know what most or many light workers have in common? lack of self-worth. And that is because we've been through it in old energies and we've been beat up severely. Now is another energy and we're afraid. There's the fear again to do this. Sit and be loved is so difficult because we have baggage and we can't just sit because the baggage sits down with us. So we really have to have a pure mindset. I sit here and I throw away everything I was ever told for a moment. Dear Spirit, show me what I need to do. That is sit and be loved. And that is the answer, really, truly, at this moment, in this time, to get into this where consciousness will start develop, because then you'll meet other people that are going through what you're going through. That's what's happening in the room. We've met together. Have you ever thought about it? Have you really ever thought about it? You got all of you come to a four-day meeting of channeling. And channeling, by its definition, is we sit here and we are in touch with entities with names. Where are they from? What are they doing? What's happening? What are they teaching you? And none of these things are bothering you, because when they come in, all you do is you feel the understanding, the love, and the compassion, and they don't tell you to change your life or to want your money or any of these things. And that's what other people think is going on in this room. You're a cult. You knew that, didn't you? And that's, of course, what I've been accused as well. Nobody has the understanding of what's going on here. Are you aware? I was asked to leave France. I cannot go to France and present. Now, if you're French or your government and you're listening to this recording, if we put it on the air, check it out. You have got laws that you don't want anybody there who's going to upset the apple cart. And what happened is when I went, I upset the apple cart. We had 2,500 people in Paris. We had 3,000 people in Lyon. No, not in Lyon, in Metz. I had 1,000 people in Lyon. And the government saw it. And when they came and when they checked it out, they saw that I wasn't asking them to join anything. There was no prophet. There was no book. There was no religion. And we were not asking them to donate. There wasn't a class that they were supposed to go to. There was no subscriptions we were asking to. We just went and channeled, and thousands showed up. So the government decided that there was an energy, we were doing something to them that they couldn't figure out. Please don't come back. Now, if you're the French government and you heard this, you should be ashamed. I'm sorry, but you're the only country I can't go to. Maybe you ought to take a look at your laws here and see whether you're suppressing your own evolution. Because there's a whole lot of people in France that have crying books. That was one of the most popular languages before we were thrown out. So, did I get to the answer? Sometimes I go a little bit too far.
Janice, if you can take the lady with her hand. Yeah.
Thank you. My name's Blissa. My question is around the Merkaba or Merkaba. I was leading meditations two in a row, one day and then the next day. And the first day I felt and saw and conceptualized a geometric shape quite large around me. And then the second day I went ahead and cued it for the group. And then later there was a question as to what exactly the Merkaba was. And I really have only heard Kryon speaking of it, but I know there's lots of information scattered throughout the channelings. But she also, that woman, felt the geometric shape around her. And it was like, I can sense it now. And I know also that it's how we can clear the room rather than smudging, even if we like that
ceremony. I'll tell you what you're talking about. You're going to go ahead and thank you.
Thank you.
There are several aspects of this, and I want to just be clear. Kryon has defined the Merkaba as for us, in the simple terms, as your multidimensional sacred energy bubble. Everybody has one, and it is, if I got this right, Monica, was it 8 meters wide? That's about 26 feet. That's enormous. Have you ever gone into a movie theater and sat next to somebody that you didn't know and moved because you felt something? Every time, you're all sitting in each other's Merkabas. Now, just I want to come back to it in just a moment, because the patterning that she saw or that you've seen or whatever, right on, because what Crying has also said. But I can't help but tell you that part of the study that HeartMath Institute has done regarding coherence, I am positive that it has to do with interlacing Merkabas. Now, you're about to meet Shamir, who is a HeartMath Institute trainee. He's been trained. And we create and we can measure scientifically coherence in groups. And you start to see where one starts to be in coherence, and then you can see the chart happening when more and more come into coherence. Now, that's something you should ask him. What is coherence when it comes to what HeartMath is talking about? I've always felt that our Merkaba is, as we start to change ours, others feel it. This is also the answer, partially, when you are standing in front of somebody who's angry or calling you names, and you are silent and not steaming, but loving, and it's not touching you because your buttons are disengaged. What if your Merkaba was so beautiful and so balanced that it starts to affect the attacker to a way where that they'll try, and eventually there'll be a blubbering mess, and they'll say, I don't know what's going on. That happens in Marilyn's sessions, because she deals with this, and you can ask her what's happened. The patterning, I love this. Crine has said that medical intuitives see patterns. So they are seers of multidimensional energies of the human being. So if they come to say, you know, you ought to check your liver, they're not looking at your liver. They're reading your Merkaba. I love that, because that ties in to the next thing that Crine has said. You know, I've told you over and over in channels and also on this stage, and some of you know, and Crine says, when you reach the point where you will not war with each other, and war is something you would never do, ever, killing one another, that is the release of a lot of multidimensional physics, the inventions that we need to solve so many things that we think are unsolvable. But one of them, intriguing, that Crine says is the biggest, is the ability for us for the first time to see, observe multidimensional fields. Now, why is that important? Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at things. Gravity is a multidimensional field. If you could see the patterns of gravity, science would have an aha. Oh, this is why. If we could see magnetics, we can't. We really can't. We can see the effects of it. We can do iron filings and all manner, but we really can't see the actual patterning of a magnetic field because it's multidimensional. And the other one, there's multidimensional things all around us. Crine even said we'd see it in rocks because there's life that we don't acknowledge. And he said, but when they turn it on a human being, they will see the patterning of the Merkaba. They will see how many lifetimes you've been here. You'll see all of that light up. And I believe it. I asked Crian, I said, will I be here? I mean, is this going to happen? And he says, yes, you'll be here. And I'll say, yay! And then he says, well, you might look a little different. But see, you tickled part of the thing that I love, because there's been so much information about the Merkaba, which was really exposed with the ascension of Elijah, and that's the other thing that Crine talks about quite a bit. Thank you.
Lovely. Next question.
What will happen to the electric grid, and why?
That's how insightful. I don't want to bore you with Cryon 101. Winter is coming. We have a cycle which we are on the cusp of right now. You'll know it's here for sure, and in 15 years, there's no question. Maybe 13 by now. It's a cycle that has happened and will continue to happen on this planet. It's a slow cycle, and it's a cycle of cold and hot. It's a cycle that Crine has even called the water cycle, because if the water melts, the water freezes. The water melts, the water freezes. Ocean levels go up, they go down. Glaciers come and go. And you can see the cycle very, very clearly when you study ice cores, tree rings, and the meteorologists know this. What has happened just lately and is starting to diminish is the idea of global warming, that the cycle of the planet that you're seeing is our fault. And Cryon says it is not our fault. The meteorologists who start studying the cycle saying it would have happened anyway. We have to clean up what we're doing or we'll kill ourselves. This is what Cryon said. You're not going to kill a planet. It's very survivable and has survived before without you. But Cryon says, if you don't stop polluting, if you don't stop all these things, you're going to kill yourself. But he says, nothing to do with the planet. Now, that is controversial, as you might think. But what Cryon has said is that you're looking at the cycle. Cold is coming. That polar vortex we had that came down and shocked everybody with temperatures that were so low, they were polar, in areas that were inhabited. This is, Cryon says, here he is for you to look at. It's not a onesie. You're going to get again and again and again. And it's part of what the Earth does. Now, the Earth does this on a regular basis to, and Cryon says, to renew life in the ocean. So I don't know about that. I'm not a biologist, but that's so interesting that this would be the cycle of hot and cold and ice and all that. But what it means to us right now is that a centralized electric grid system will not sustain what is coming in cold areas. It'll break. It just cannot survive because you're going to need to double it or even triple it to make enough heat, all of these things that we're going to need in the colder areas of the world. In our country and in Canada, that would be the upper portions, which are now have winters, which are notable. They may have only 3 months of no winter. They may have a time when snow never melts. This is what we're looking at. And Cryon says, you could doubt this, but here it comes. You'll know it's true. Now, some have had the worst winters they've ever had. We now know about droughts and things that are happening in odd places that never happened before. I'm from San Diego, California. We get almost no rain. I forgot what the average is. Something, it's a desert area. I'll tell you, it's raining a lot. That's the first time I've ever seen this in my life. Everything is green. I've never seen everything green in San Diego. It's a desert. This is a redistribution of where it rains, where it doesn't rain, hot and cold. Cryon says this is coming. So our grid system, especially in the north, will not survive. And that is why Cryon has said we are talking about specific electric generation that would be house-specific and neighbor-specific. You're off the grid. Now, they could be built and serviced by the electric companies. And if the electric companies are smart, they'll see this coming and get into that business. But you won't be on a grid. So if there won't be failure where everybody gets their electricity shut off in a time where they really need it or they'll die. And this has happened. We watched this happen in Montreal. I've seen this where they had an unusual, horrible winter and they had freezing rain and ice storm. And of course, when freezing rain and ice storm will go onto the wires and the telephone poles will fall over and the grid system will fail. And it did. There were shut-ins who died because they couldn't even get out. The snow was too high. It's a horror story. And so we've seen it, and we know what's there. And that, Cryon says, will happen. It's going to happen in Minneapolis. It's going to happen in North Dakota. It's going to happen in Canada, especially Upper Canada in the east. And he says, just get ready for it. Get off the grid. Then he tells people in those areas, get a wood-burning stove. It's illegal to use it, but it's not illegal to own it. Call it an antique. Get one and be ready so that in case your electricity goes down, and you can't get out for a week, you'll have wood to burn and you'll survive. And so this sounds pretty crazy right now, but every single year we're getting closer to seeing the reality of it. This year we saw the polar vortex. And when it happened, I said, this is what Cryon was talking about, and it's not going to be the first time. So that is the concern that Cryon is giving us. He's saying, you've never seen this cycle before because it's a long one. You didn't have a civilization that was recording things the last time it happened. You were just, you know, where you were here, but you didn't have television and electricity and all these things. The ice cores talk about it, and they show the duration, you know, 1700 years kind of a thing. Here it is again. So, of course, it's controversial, and there are people who take me to task constantly for this. And what I say is, I got time. You know, talk to me in 10 years. It's coming. Does that answer the question?
Okay, so.
So how soon is it coming?
Okay, let's talk about that, because although I feel like I just answered it, I'm going to do it again. It has been on us now since the first mention of global warming. Because when the Earth started to warm up and we saw the reefs starting to die, we all thought it was our fault and the pollution was there, and that's what's causing it. Now we're realizing, some of the meteorologists are realizing, it's a cycle. So it really is here, and it's slow. Aren't you glad it's slow? And so within, Crine says, 13 to 15 years, his description is, you'll know I'm right. So by then, you'll see it as an actual thing, because the winters are longer and all, and you get time to prepare for it. I think, honestly, for the center of it, the worst of it, and Crine has mentioned to me 30, 25, something like that. It's a generational thing. And how long? The next question is, how long are you going to have it? And the answer is, you don't want to know. Because it might be another, it might last for 20 years. If you're ready, it won't be a biggie. The other thing, let me mention Montreal again, is that when you go downtown, Montreal, there's other cities too, almost all of the buildings you can get to underground. There's tunnels, so when in the wintertime, you can get to work and go to the store, you can go visit people, you can do everything, all in tunnels underground, because they've prepared for this, because this gets very cold there, up in Quebec City especially. So the infrastructure that we develop with the way we create electricity, with the tunnels thing, we're going to be fine. But we just have to do it. We have to understand it. We're smart enough, so it's not going to kill us if we're ready. But Crian says, be ready, because here it comes, and very few are paying attention to cold is coming, when we've been told we're in global warming. Can I tell you what Greg Braden's research has given? I use this name all the time. Greg, if you're listening to this or you hear about it, excuse me for using your name so much. But I attended one of his programs where he agrees with me. He agrees with the channeling because of the science that he has researched, including the ice cores. Ice cores, you drill down in the ice, ice that's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and there's layers in the ice that will tell you what the atmosphere was like, the temperature was like. You realize that? And so he has a picture, and he showed the various ice layers that they were looking at that document this particular cycle. And what he said is it was so unusual that right before the cycle, there's always a warming. And that's what we're into. And so it looks like one thing, but it's going to be another. And you will say, well, how can everybody be so stupid? Because we've never seen it before. We leap to the conclusion that we caused it because we're polluting so much. And Christ says, again, what you've caused is really unhealthy stuff for you, but the planet's going to survive, thank you very much, and here comes a cycle.
Great.
This has to be the last question because we'll be out of time.
Okay. I have a very enthusiastic arm here.
All right, okay, this is a little heavy. Humans have free choice, and it's been said that there's no judgment. I would like to understand and, well, get informed.
You're asking about free choice?
No. My question is, what happens to suicides?
Suicides, I'll tell you the truth, and you're not going to like it.
Okay.
Some of us on the other side of the veil come in to be unbalanced and commit suicide. Why? It's for the people around us to learn a lesson. Sometimes it kicks them in the butt so hard that they'll actually go to zero and end up coming to a place like this. Do you understand? And so there's no dishonor from spirit in suicide. Sometimes it is actually ingrained in a person to come in unbalanced, and they might or might not go in that direction. The people that we have worked with, especially mothers who have had their children commit suicide, have changed those mothers' lives so radically, and we only are seeing it because they're coming to places like this. They have peace. They understand. And it's changed who they are, what they do, and how they think about life. It's remarkable. And you say, I've said this to at least two mothers, what would have happened if she or he had not committed suicide. You wouldn't have started this project. These people wouldn't have been affected. In other words, there's an entire lineage, or the books that were written because of it, and the people that were helped, maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands, because of that one action by one person. Do you see where I'm going with this? And that is not what that's not the answer you expected. Horror, it's awful, but that's it. We are really out of time. I'm sorry.